Good afternoon. I'm going to talk about a study that looks at the prevalence of depression in adult diabetics. And this was a practice-based research network, AHRQ-RO3 project that we just completed a couple of months ago. So we had three community health centers in two different states, one in New Haven, Connecticut, one in Holyoke, Massachusetts, and one in Dorchester, Massachusetts. And a very large team, and an RO3, for those of you who don't know, is only $100,000 a year, so there's like no money. But we were really curious as to what is the prevalence of depression in adult type 2 diabetics who receive their care in community health centers, because there have been prior studies, but only in basically white middle class HMO populations. And we wanted to know whether depression was associated with poor diabetes self-control, self-management, and diabetes control, which is some of the theory around this interaction. And finally, if we do identify folks and have them treated, what changes? Does their diabetes control change? Does their self-management change? And we really undertook this because I think it's still pretty muddy as to what the relationship is between diabetes and depression. And as I said earlier, none of the previous studies focused on low-income minority populations. So these are just a few of the studies. Caton and the Group Health Cooperative, which is an HMO, found just about 12% of diabetics screened positive for depression. There is evidence that it may precede development of type 2 depression and may be a risk factor, and there are physiological reasons for that, stickiness and all this stuff. I'm not going to go into it, but it's just a theory, and I don't know anyone that's really gathered more definitive evidence. There is certainly evidence that patients with depression and diabetes are less compliant with diet and medicine, or higher healthcare users, and cost more. In fact, our own work in a previous study of depression found that if you had depression and diabetes, you cost about $1,200 to $1,500 more a year if you're a Medicaid insurance insured patient than if you just had diabetes alone. There have also been studies that have showed that depression is strongly associated with development of diabetic complications. And this, of course, may be related to the fact that people are not appropriately self-caring. And also the question whether it's associated with glycemic control and insulin resistance in non-diabetics. So is this a precursor for... So basically what we did is we went to diabetes registries. A lot of health centers have tried to do chronic disease management with diabetics. We went to diabetes registries, particularly because we would find people and also find people in care. We weren't trying to find people who weren't in care. Interestingly enough, we still couldn't find 151 of those patients, which was a little disturbing to me because these were supposed to be patients in health centers with routine care, and they couldn't find a bunch of them. So we randomly selected folks from these diabetes registries, approached them, and a little over half agreed to enroll in our study, which did require coming to the center to sign a consent form. So a pretty big barrier. So we ended up with about 220 patients across these centers. Most of them were female. They were young, actually, compared to most studies of diabetics. They were in their late 50s or younger. They had pretty good A1C control, which is very interesting. You'll see in a second about 50% were not had above 7, but not terrible. And certainly their other physiologic characteristics weren't way off the charts, but look at the BMI. It was really huge. There were some small differences between those who participated in the study and those who didn't, but who were on the list to be approached. Slightly more female, slightly more English-speaking, and slightly higher BMI. However, we did end up with a quite diverse sample, more Latinos than any group, whites, and then about 12% African-Americans. We did collect demographic data. We did get baseline labs from the charts only, and those labs had to be current within 3 months. We then did a self-administered diabetes self-management questionnaire. Some of you may be familiar with it, Tolbert's questionnaire. We also use the PHQ-9 for depression screening, and I can talk more about that if anybody isn't familiar. And the SF-8, which is a set of general health questions. And we administered everything in English or Spanish, depending on the language. There was a large Vietnamese population in one of the centers, but we didn't have enough money to translate into more languages. So basically, again, this is a little bit of a repeat. These folks had diabetes for an average of 10 years, which means they developed them on average in their 40s, which is pretty early. As we know, it's getting earlier and earlier. And relatively good health profile, although certainly a good percentage of this group had substantial risk factors across the board. We used the PHQ-9 for screening, and then at some point we wanted to do telephone enrollment, and our IRB was touchy about asking about suicidality and risk assessment, so we had to use the SF-8 emotion problems for the last part of the sample. And you'll see that we had pretty good sensitivity and specificity for using the SF-8 emotional indicators for major depression. But basically, almost a third of these patients, and remember, the group health cooperative found 12%. So here, one third of these low-income, diverse patients had depression. And an additional 18%, even though their current scores weren't in the depression range, said they were receiving current treatment for depression. So you add up those two groups and you get almost 43% of the sample with some depression symptoms or depression treatment, which is really pretty huge. However, we found it was not at all related with A1C. We did find it was highly related with Spanish ethnicity, and that's a whole issue which we can talk about. Medicaid insurance, I'm not sure why, but I think Medicaid and Spanish ethnicity go together. In our sample, they were mostly Puerto Ricans. They were U.S. citizens, and therefore they were highly insured by Medicaid. Certainly poorer self-reported health, many physical and activity limitations, more pain, less energy, which isn't surprising. Those are depression symptoms. When we did a multivariate analysis, when we controlled for ethnicity and insurance status, we did find that depression symptoms negatively associated with self-management. In other words, folks with depression had less good self-reported self-management of their diabetes. So here's just a quick comparison of a couple of the values. The PHQ-9 scores, obviously, the cutoff score for depression is 10 points, and so the mean for those in our depressed group was 17-something points, and those not depressed, it was obviously low. The A1C levels, you can see, did not differ. And the self-management scores, surprisingly, at least at the univariate level, didn't differ that much either, which was a surprise to us. Now, what we did is we referred a smaller group who had really significant depression scores back to their primary care for depression treatment, and the primary care was told this person was screened in for depression. The reason why we only referred 39 patients is because the centers did not have treatment money, they didn't have money for extra labs, and they were worried about if 100 patients are coming in for extra treatment, we're not sure we can afford to treat them. So what we did is we used a cutoff of a higher score on the PHQ-9. It had to be 15 or above to be referred back to treatment. Although all the clinicians got the, with patient permission, got the score. So the clinician would know if the person scored in the moderate range. And we followed those patients for 3 and 6 months. We took labs again at 6 months. We administered the PHQ-9 at 3 and 6 months, and the self-management score. And very nicely, even though it's a small number, the PHQ-9 score went down significantly from about 19 to 12 points. The self-management scores went up from about 28 points to 32 points, a composite scale. And more patients self-reported they were getting depression treatment. So this was encouraging. So basically, in terms of conclusions, we found huge rates of depression amongst these community health center populations of diabetic patients. Certainly huge decrements in their quality of life, reporting very negative quality of life. Particularly amongst Latino patients, the rates were very high. We did not find depression associated with glycemic control, and that's been a tough one. It's been up and down in different studies. And we did find that there was some association with poor self-management, not as much as we thought, but that those patients who received treatment for depression did improve their self-management. We do suspect that many people were getting treatment for depression, so maybe that's why their baseline scores weren't that different. They were also quite a bit younger than most studies that have looked at depression in diabetics, probably 10 years younger. So it may be that depression over time, and obviously a longitudinal study is important here, impacts diabetes outcomes much more seriously over time. And then a lot of people have said, is A1C a good measure of diabetes? A lot of my clinical folks, maybe we should throw that out. And but we did find that there were areas of self-management that were particularly difficult. In other words, people probably are taking their medication, they're probably testing their blood sugar, but diet and exercise, which is hard for everybody, were worse amongst people who had more depression. The study was limited. We had certainly relatively small numbers in treatment. We had no money to pay for extra labs or extra visits, and this became an issue. We do hope finally to actually take this group, now that they've all consented and participated in research, and maybe ask them to consent to an ongoing study, which we think will be an interesting thing to do, all 220. So we'll follow those longitudinally, those who have depression already, those who haven't, and see how things change over time. So, thank you. It was basically usual care, so we actually did training for all the clinicians on appropriate medications in primary care, and we also made sure that each site had access to mental health services, which many of them had social workers on site that did mental health care. When we asked patients, about 50%, a lot of them got mental health counseling. About half got counseling and half got medication, and a great number got both. So it was basically primary care depression treatment. Very few people were referred to specialty care. Yes? We found it to be much higher than we expected. The Toolbert survey is 6 or 7 items, and the patient's supposed to circle how many days they do it, like how many days do they exercise, how many days do they eat 5 fruits and vegetables and things like that. And we found really high self-report, and we were actually pretty astounded. But remember, these patients also were patients who were supposed to be under regular care. They were on the diabetes registries of these centers. So these are probably the cream of the crop of the patients. You know, they're really getting them in. They're really harping on their management. So the patients who may not be on the registry who have diabetes are probably a lot worse. So that we might have... Right, yeah, exactly. Yes. Gender mix in terms of depression? No, it was pretty even across males and females, and actually we found that in another study males screen in pretty highly. The one thing we found is that males have higher suicidality items than women. We did. We looked at all those. Right. We had all those labs, and just to protect, you know, more than one variable, they weren't showing anything, which was interesting. We were a little surprised, but again, there's reasons, you know, that perhaps these patients are pretty well managed. They were 89% insured. A lot of them were Medicaid insured, so they had access to care. They were on a diabetes registry, so they were being followed fairly carefully, even though we couldn't find a whole bunch of them that we wish we could have found from the registry. But there weren't huge differences, either on demographics or on a baseline lab and so forth, between those we found and those we didn't find in enroll, because we had that data. Actually, it's interesting, the BMIs did go down a little bit. They did go down a little bit, but not significantly. It was a really small study, so, you know, sample. So.
Despite the depression prevalence being quite high in the clinic population.
Right. Well, in general, actually, I had done a prior study on depression in Medicaid populations, and it is quite high. So, yes, it may not be unusually high, although it wasn't 43%.